You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast. And due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're still unable to gather as a whole family for worship. But we're confident that as we are scattered, God is still building his church. So you can watch our videos of our Sunday gatherings on Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. or go get home church resources and the videos at restorationlex.com/this week. Again, thanks so much for listening. What is up, Restoration Home Churches? So good to be with you once again, wherever and whenever you're joining us throughout the week. We're just honored to worship with you and grow with you. And just to remind you, these videos are meant to equip you where you are. This is not meant to be the meal. This is meant to be the appetizer, because we believe that God is at work in your home churches and that you're going to grow through studying the scriptures together and just listening to the Spirit speak as he shapes us as a community. And so my name's Justin. If we haven't met, I'm coming to you from my new palatial studio in my house. And if you're wondering why the change of scenery, it's because it's August and school's about to start and school's happening at home. And so Dad's got to find a new spot to get some stuff done around here. And like so many of you, like our homes are the messy center of almost everything now. So we've had to learn to adjust on the fly. We've had to learn to be flexible with almost everything because stuff changes so fast. Which is really kind of one of the hardest parts about home church, is that we used to have very clear boundaries within our lives, our spiritual lives. We had places and times and practices that marked out and shaped the kind of people we were becoming. And now many of those places we can no longer go to. Many of those practices maybe have waned, or they don't look like what they used to, and the time is flowing together at all times. We used to meet on Sunday mornings at 11 and worship and sing and celebrate with a band and a bunch of people. We will again, but now we're saying, Lord, can you meet me here on this couch that's full of Cheerios and change with laundry on the floor and a Netflix video blaring on an iPad in the background? Lord, how can you meet me in such a mess? Home church seems like an oxymoron. Church was where I used to go to meet with God, and now I'm stuck here in this messy home right here. So we have to ask ourselves, how can we make our homes sacred? How can this ordinary place that we find ourselves in, how could this be a holy place where we can meet with God? And to really understand that, we have to look at the full story, the full span of God's story in Scripture, about how it begins with perfect communion with him, that then moves to broken communion, that then moves through Jesus to restored communion. And it starts really with Genesis 1 and 2, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, who are walking in this perfect communion with God. He breathes the breath of life into them and then walks with them on a daily basis. And creation is his temple that he dwells in all of his fullness. And Adam and Eve are right there with him. But as we know in Genesis 3, sin enters the picture and Adam and Eve are exiled out of the garden into broken creation. And the rest of Genesis is the fallout from that. And God is present, but he's also sort of absent. And even in his absence, the way he is present is strange and mysterious. And as we get into Exodus, Moses comes into the picture and we see God encounter him through a burning bush, which propels Moses to go back to Egypt and free God's people, who have now grown to this massive nation. And through God's power, he does. He leads them out of Egypt towards the promised land, but that journey goes through the desert, and that's a long journey. And it's during this time that God gives them the law through Moses. And the law was meant to shape them into the kind of distinct people they were meant to be in the world. Part of this law, Exodus 25, God commands Moses to build something called a tabernacle. You can see a picture on the screen. A tabernacle was a portable tent of meeting. It was literally a portable temple where God would dwell among his people. And interestingly, this tabernacle was designed to look like the Garden of Eden. And so right in the middle of this journey through the desert, God's people were reminded, not only is God present with us, but he's still longing for that perfect communion with us. He's still longing to be with us the way he was in the garden. And that tabernacle was a central part of Israel's story, all the way up until we see the temple built by Solomon. And God's presence then dwells within this temple in all of his unapproachable holiness, and he's ministered to by priests. And these priests offer sacrifices on behalf of God's people, And God is so holy that the high priest can only go into this place called the Holy of Holies, where his presence dwelt, one time a year to offer a sacrifice on behalf of God's people. And so for the most part, and this is a simplification for sure, but for the most part, when you look at the Old Testament, you see that God dwells primarily in a building, and he works with and through a select few. Priests, and sometimes prophets, sometimes kings and warriors, but a select few. And this is the world that Jesus was born into, and the world when he begins his ministry that he immediately disrupts. Because in Jesus, God is present, but he's present outside of the temple. And he's present, and this is huge, he's present among people who normally would not have access to God. And it's interesting how the gospel writers describe him. John 1:14, listen to this, how Jesus is described. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Literally, he tabernacled among us. He's calling us back to the story in the Old Testament that Jesus is the tabernacle, the living presence of God among his people once again. And as Jesus describes himself throughout his ministry, he uses temple language as well. Matthew 12, verse 6, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here." John 2:19, he's talking about his own body. He says, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." And for a people that the temple was central to not only their religion, but just their social life, those were fighting words. And so the religious elite, they get with Rome and they arrest Jesus and they crucify him like a criminal. And interestingly, in Luke 23, it says when Jesus breathes his last breath, that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, when he breathed his last breath, that curtain was torn into something monumental was happening. And 3 days later, just as he promised, Jesus walks out of that grave and inaugurates a new reality in our world, a new kingdom in our world. And this resurrected Jesus, he reminds his people as he's teaching them before he ascends into heaven in Acts 1. He says, "Wait for my presence. Wait for power to come." And they do. They begin to pray in the upper room of a home. And 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, Pentecost comes. Acts 2 happens and the Holy Spirit falls on every single believer. God's presence, the same presence that was in the garden, the same presence that was in the tabernacle, the same presence that was in the temple, now dwells in a new temple in God's people through Jesus Christ. And so the New Testament describes us profoundly as God's temple. Look in 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 3, he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" And then again later, he says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" The New Testament says we now, as God's people, are the bearers of God's presence. We are his temple. But not only that, not only are we his temple, it describes us now as his priests. 1 Peter talks about this in chapter 2. He says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And again, 4 verses later, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." My friends, because of the work of Christ, we are now God's temple. And not only are we, as God's people, his temple, we are also his priests in the world. We are the ones who minister on his behalf. Now, this is true of us, but we often, especially as American Christians, we operate with more of an Old Testament understanding of God, that God dwells in a building. And as he dwells in this building, he only really works through the select few, the professionals, the pastors, the staff, the leaders, and my friends. That's just not our reality anymore. The New Testament speaks this new life over us where we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and we are empowered by that Spirit to be the ministers of God in our world? Are we living more in an Old Testament understanding of our identity? Are we living into the New Testament identity that's being spoken over us? So we have to understand this together. So first of all, as living temples, my friends, God is always present and available to us in his fullness. Everywhere we are, God can meet us in his fullness because we are his temple right where we are, which means our messy living rooms can be a place of powerful worship. It means that our kitchen tables can be the altar of communion, that our off-pitch singing in the car as we're singing worship, that can be our sacrifice of praise. Wherever we are, even in the messiness of life, God is present and at work among us and available to us. And it's up to us then, because this is true, to say, I'm going to consecrate time and space in the ordinary messiness of my life, and I'm going to meet him in worship right here because he's present and he's available. So not only are we living temples, we have to understand, secondly, as priests, that God's power and ministry have been given to us. Restoration, this is huge. The days of ministry being and belonging to a select few, the professionals, just the pros, those days are gone. And now you are empowered right where you are to do God's kingdom work in and through you. In fact, if we do our job right as pastors, let's be honest, in Ephesians 4, it says that our job is to equip you saints to do the work of the ministry. Oftentimes it's been opposite of that. It's hey, everybody in the church, empower the professionals to do ministry. But the Bible says that the way it's really supposed to be is that we are the equippers to equip you to do ministry right where you are. It turns it on its head. And God, I believe, is awakening these giftings and these empowerments within us. But as we understand that God has empowered us and we are his temple and can meet him wherever we are, I need to warn us not to see this simply through an American individualistic lens. You see, God's presence is in us, but it's not for us alone. What we see in the scriptures and home churches, this is massively important. And it leads us to the passage we're going to look at together in your home churches more in depth, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. But I want to close by looking at verse 7 because it's massive for us, which says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, yes, we are uniquely empowered, each one of us, for the ministry of God, right where we are. And we can meet God as his temple right where we are. And we call these things spiritual gifts. They're given to us, it says, though, for the common good. Verse 1 describes really three truths that we see in verse 7, three truths that should change our understanding from an individualistic lens to a communal lens of understanding the Holy Spirit. It shows us that every Christian is empowered with gifts. It shows us that God is the giver of these gifts. We don't just get to pick and choose or just kind of operate however we get. We're dependent on God, but also that they are given to empower our love for one another. They're given to help us love our neighbor as ourselves. That's why God gives us spiritual gifts, not just for our own benefit, but to build up the body and to love our neighbor, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, which means practically, my friends, you right where you are, the family of God needs you. It needs your gifts. Your home church needs your gifts. The home church you're not a part of yet needs your gifts. Followers of Jesus, if that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then those gifts have been given to build up, not just yourself, but build up the body of Christ. I want this to become a new reality for our home churches. And I know it's not always been this way, but I would love and I dream to see this become true for us in our home churches, that everybody has something to bring to the table. That it's not just a select few, that it's not just a teacher or a hospitality person, but every single person can discover and operate in the gifts of the Spirit for the edification of the body, for the common good, to build one another up and love one another through the power of Christ among you. So that's where we're headed this week as we move into home churches. We're going to unpack 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. I want you to study that together and look at those verses and what that speaks to you. We'll have some questions around that. But one big question is this, is just what we talked about. What would it look like if everyone had something to bring to the table? In your home church or in your relationships, how can we begin to dream of what it would look like if everyone's operating in the gifts of the Spirit, ministering to and loving one another in your community? Man, if what the New Testament says about us is true, then our home churches can be places of powerful experiences of the presence of God, not only in worship, but in the gifts of God's people together. So you can find these questions and resources at restorationlex.com/this week. You can also give. Thank you, generous people. You're providing school supplies. You're serving moms, pregnant moms through Parenting Pathways. Your generosity is making an impact right now. Offer prayer requests. Sign up for the newsletter, kids resources, lots of stuff there. restorationlex.com/this week. I love you guys. I'm praying for you this week as you walk this out together, as you grow together. Listen, church is where you are. Together as we gather, Scripture says two or three are gathered, Jesus is there with us. And so let's be intentional as we connect this week to remember the presence of Jesus with us and to walk in the fullness of his love together. I love you guys, and we will see you back in this spot next week.